Whether mathematicians or marathoners, chasing mastery often runs us into a wall that blocks further progress. Now, 8 DoD brain studies, one at Arizona State University, aim to help soldiers break through it.
Our focus is really on enhancement, and enhancement in people who are superior performers already.
ASU neuroscientist Stephen Helms-Tillery leads the project, which studies how a key brain chemical, norepinephrine, affects skills like marksmanship that link senses, decisions, and actions.
Norepinephrine is essentially the fight-or-flight neuromodulator.
When you wake up to a strange sound, tense, eyes wide, ears straining, that's norepinephrine flooding your brain. ASU neuroscientist Chris Bonello.
So you're able to attend more to what you're doing, that will accelerate the learning process.
Norepinephrine also affects neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to rewire itself, to react, repair, and learn. But how remains unclear.
But one of the things that we think happens with norepinephrine is it sort of enhances what we call the signal-to-noise ratio.
The brain is organized chaos. It's noisy, not just with voices of doubt and recrimination, but with signals.
For something of interest to sort of come to your attention, it has to step out of that noise a little bit.
Like a baseline. Providing that chemical bass boost is the brainstem's locus coeruleus. Scientists can trigger the area non-surgically by zapping certain nerves. ASU will use the trigeminal nerve in the face.
Actually, this is kind of the big gap, is the link between this stimulation of these peripheral nerves and the cortical changes.
So, zap a facial nerve to trigger the brain to release a chemical to improve learning. Sounds good, but broad. How to boost the signal and not the noise?
It's going to be equally important to devise tasks that sort of challenge the brain while you're providing the stimulation and finding the right type of task.
For example, a sharpshooter might play a computer-based aiming game with ever-changing physics rules.
So people are always sort of have to be on their toes and capable of learning this new task.
Later on, we'll add other tasks that involve explicit decision-making.
Effective or not, such research raises ethical questions. It dips its toe into the vast ocean of possibility and societal ripples that brain augmentation represents. In the short term, despite precautions and monitoring, side effects are possible, as is addiction.
We do think that we'll probably be activating reward circuits as well. And so if you're activating reward circuits and hedonic circuits, then the possibility for addiction is, I think, potential. It's not zero.
And for some, using such techniques to build a better soldier only deepens the moral fog. Bioethicist Jason Robert.
Of course we should be worried about building better warfighters. At the same time, we also should be worried about making sure that the warfighters we have are not being inappropriately sacrificed because we haven't done what we could do.
Review boards weigh such risks against benefits before signing off on work with human or animal subjects. But some questions reach beyond their purview.
What it means to be human, what it means to learn, what it means to function as part of a civilization.
What those answers might be, only time will tell. But the researchers hope their work might one day help people with cognitive declines and impairments.
Could be Alzheimer's, could be stroke, could be anything where, you know, enhancing the learning process would be beneficial.
Many ifs and quite some time stand between this work and those possibilities. But then hope, too, is good for the brain. I'm Nicholas Gerbus in Phoenix.